Blog Talk Radio.
Motherfucker.
International concentration camp, and I hope all of you who aren't being bombed today are doing well. For you who are, duck. The horror of the unending, unyielding civilization and its deployment of power continues. The horror, the spectacle. It's been a while since I've come to rant. I need to bombast today. What a day to bombast. It's rare I come here and bombast on this pitiful setting, partly because I'm not entertaining. And since you're not entertaining, you don't get listeners. I'm not Joe Rogan. Damn. If I could only be Joe Rogan, then my life would be complete. But I'm not, alas, because I'm not entertaining. I need a better spectacle, but mine is a platform of negation, as those of you who might have listened once upon a time. I subscribe to a perspective called anarcho-nihilism. I always recommend the book Blessed is the Flame, which is near and dear. What brings me here is, I guess, opportunity, the welling up of energy to spew greater negation on the just constant lies. The question that comes up every day for me, which is a quote from Blessed is the Flame, to what extent do I remain attached to this society that I despise? What would it mean to sever those attachments? End quote. I often think of that because we're all attached here, whether we like it or not, to this concentration camp. And we get constant messages venerating the camp, venerating the occupants of the camp based on their race, creed, color, age, sex, etc., etc. Some are more denigrated, some are terribly mistreated, some are exterminated. It all depends on the flavor of the month and what power wants to do. Because that's really what it is the Leviathan, the power, constantly being imposed with words and guns and knives and bombs, jets, and all the tools, right? Of course, the greatest tool is the tool of meaning, right, of language, of thought systems that say, this is what is, which is the great lie, right? The great lie that frames the concentration camp that says, no, it's the concentration camp. That's negative. This is a society, a civilization, cities and people all just innocently living, you know, just going along. We all want peace and justice and the American way. And I this is the literally for me the only place where I can express myself, shall we say, without filters, without editing, because no one wants to hear. No one wants the negative person. No one wants the anarchist. Nobody wants the nihilist, because it's always from the starting point of, well, how do we get along in the concentration camp? And I get it. I do understand that that is easy to think point of view that we are inundated with, and the narratives that constantly spin all day, every day in our 24-hour news cycles, the constant spectacle that is a lie. And it's all a lie. I've said this before. But that's what makes the bombast so pointless, right? Because nobody's listening. And if you say it, you just canceled, ignored, because that's all you have to do. Because unless you're on their platform, you're irrelevant. That's how they keep us. It's so beautiful. This level of the brutality is just unfathomably gorgeous. You know, you see some authors out there who express as much and show us. It's lovely. But they too are absorbed, recuperated, as a sociologist say, into the spectacle. We all are here selling our wares, and you're either, you know, you're just part of it. Some will sell and do well, keep selling. And I am no better. I work in a system that I have to put on my smile, for if I am not, I will suffer. I'll suffer more, and that's really what power does, is say, well, what degree of suffering would you like? And if you wish the least amount of suffering, you better play. You better play the game. You better play the problem-solving game. You better get along. Any hint of dissent is met with grave consequences. There's a narrow space in the concentration camp to inhabit it if you want to survive. Some call that the survival sickness, right? We are in concentration camp time, suspended, and we're also wedged between the suicidal despondency that manifests. To be slaves and be told constantly you're free, to say that you are protected, but really you are incarcerated. And to say that that is a reality, right? It's not so much that it is, because it's not a reality, right? So we're like, oh, that's absurd. I can't handle absurdity. Yeah. Because we've built this consciousness, this psychology that says the narratives define what is. And no matter how far you feel stuck or not stuck, there's a way out. So you can feel good about what you do. Lies. Lies. And in my experience, the lies just get better. They just keep churning out new lies, new ways to tell lies, always working out of a self-righteousness, but not any real honest skepticism that can show that the emperor wears no clothes, because obviously, and I say that with perspective, that it doesn't follow. The easy-to-think narratives don't flow. The people that say, oh, I'm authentic. You can trust me. Just give me $49.95. Which I understand. Does that make them sellouts. Oh, there are no not sellouts. We know that. Except me, right? Because no one's listening. I don't have to sell out. I have a platform that nobody's listening to anyway. So that's the point. Because when they listen, you become a threat. Joe Rogan's only a threat, but he's not a threat. He is a lackey of the highest order. And he's making a really, really good living, because that's what we say. It's all about making that living. All about making that money, but making sure that that making money is somehow ethical. One of the great jokes of civilization, that there's a moral way to exploit. See, they don't, they fight that. No, we're just ordinary citizens. We're just ordinary. It's all just ordinary, normalized. The exploitation, the spectacle, the use and abuse of the living world constantly, pretending that these are problems. International what day? War where? Nobody cares. Do they? They say they do. But we know it's just the powerful pouncing on the weak, and the weak begging for mercy any way possible. Because we're all there. We're all with them. And we know how it is to see power being imposed upon us, because we live it every day. But it's all the same, right? Independence. There's no escape here. There's no better way. That's what everybody wants, to be in that nonsense of paradigm shifts to the next paradigm, to the next paradigm, because and there is no next paradigm. It's all a lie. And that's, they're like, oh my gosh, that makes me despair. How am I supposed to live and have a good life when it's all bullshit? You don't. You don't. You don't. And that's the starkness of it that no one wants to hear. Because we can't let go of the psychology, the mass psychology that leads us to fitism or addiction, belief. Right? We're stuck in this chronological time, everything leading to nowhere, right? And they're like, oh, what's the point then? That's my favorite. What's the point? What's the point? Why not just suicide? Well, let's just say I have a very intimate relationship with that, and I think we all do, and how it impacts us. And one thing you learn, and we all know this intuitively, it's easy to judge. You judge other people in the concentration camp, as if there's a good way to live in the concentration camp. Good way to be respected in the concentration camp. So that's just a pointless thing to just go around judging all the inauthentics for the authentics when they're all inauthentic. But we also, that's the not easy to think dissonance that we have to carry with us, that sense that we know that so much can resonate with us, but at the same time we know that resonance is belief in a framework of lies. So it's that, how do I sever that, and what am I left with? See, we the nihilism part, because we're fucked. We're screwed. There's no good outcome here. And we say to ourselves psychologically, in our mass psychology, well, what am I supposed to do with that? That derails. That's the last time I talked, almost a year ago, was that they're like, well, that just derails the conversation. Well, I'm like, there is no conversation. There's no conversation here. There's no need for conversation, slave. We just want to make sense, and making sense is what keeps us here. We want some easy-to-think way out so we can feel good. as Freud said, the sublimations that we surround ourselves in as the defense mechanism of our thought systems, right? And, of course, that manifests in all the repression and suppression of the ego and the superego, and then becomes toxic. John Trudell, love you. That is the highest rated one I've ever talked. I did a tribute to John Trudell. Over 120 people listened to my broadcast. Because John Trudell showed us something. I won't call it the truth. He would laugh in my face. What he did was peel back and show us what's happening. We can see it. We all see it. We can see without having to have a filter that instinctive sense of things without words, to experience without filter, the immediate connection. So we say, well, what's left in nothingness is everything, as Krishnamurti would say. Everything is there. There's nothing in everything because we don't need to filter it through all of the everything that is consciousness that says, well, I want to live this way, and I want to live that way, and I want to live this way, and I want to have this identity, and I want to have that identity, and all this fiction that keeps us contained in the camp. But we resist. There's resistance everywhere we see it, and it makes no sense, and it's madnessly beautiful. We resist power, but then we take power. Can we resist power without taking it and just letting it go? We did for millions of years until something happened. If we follow that chronological nonsense, it's still here with us. It's still here, part of us always, the immediate. That doesn't require pictures, capturing anything. That in the hell of the concentration camp, there is a sense of joy, completely meaningless, and yet everything. It's what I think staves off the despair, but not always, because we're here being grinded down every day, grinded down with mass psychology, grinded down with toxic food, grinded down with the onslaught of being slaves, keeping the machine going and playing our part, unaware, and then claiming ignorance when someone calls us out. Right? Victim, victimizer, good guy, bad guy. We want it simple, and it never will be. We want it put together so we can say, oh, well, this is reality. But that's the game, right? That's how they keep us wedded here, linked to the lie, ongoing. And they just keep creating new ones. And we just keep eating it up because we have nothing else to do. Nothing else to do. Relish the lie. Relish the spectacle. Many of you, along with me, probably watched in horror as a war broke out recently, as if there was ever peace. And it made me think of time past, for those of us that were alive, when the United States invaded Iraq, and after we'd blown them to bits, the troops rolled in their armored vehicles, flying across the desert. And the world was like, hooray! But I just felt despair. I felt the excitement. Because of the unknown, what would they experience? But then I also saw the I already foresaw the utter devastation for those people, the station for the others, the killers going to kill the killers, and then all those who are so-called innocents just standing before the onslaught, unreal. And that's exactly the same thing I saw days ago. And all the narratives and the rhetoric on International Concentration Camp Day. It's just more bullshit, more lies, the great lie that civilization is good and that everything's going to be okay. That's a lie. Children murdering children, driving by their schools, and in little old Iowa, U.S. of A., Iowa, there's no escape. There's no escape, this lie, this toxic cesspool. And as hard as those we try to make positive, and let's be nice to each other, and, you know, the more the cracks, it's just this huge, it's just nonstop horror. And there's no way to stop it. Because those acts are a resistance to what's happening. And we think they're problems to be solved when it is this very way of life that is. And that creates that dissonance, that challenge to the easy think. Easy to think our way in, easy to weigh our think out. And yet we hear all these foreboding warnings of global climate change, the damage being done by social media to our youth, the easy access to firearms, the easy access to violence, the mass psychology of hate. Brilliant, brilliant. And we're like, let's just all link hands and sing Kumbaya. Let's have inspirational talkers come and talk to us. Let's feel good. Let's drug ourselves. But only the right drugs. Only the ones that line the pockets of the pharmaceutical companies. Not those other ones. Not those other ones. Those psychedelic. No, no. We have to regulate that first. Quite fascinating that we do this to ourselves, that I do it to myself. And I've seen the ravages of it day in and day out by so many. So much pain. So much pain. That we call pain. Right? It's unreal. It's unreal that we have survived this long. But some would say 10,000 years of it. And we've just begun to perfect it, as we see in the last 120 years of the Industrial Revolution. And now we truly can lock in people to their madness. Lock them in to where they'll only see the augmented reality. Great book, Forbidden Dimensions. She talks about this very thing. Well, maybe the digital will unlock that. It's fascinating. But I digress, as I always do. Answers to our psychology, but we don't see that it is the psychology itself. And then if we do away with it, we're left in that despondency. We want to do something. We want to feel better. We want to make the world a better place. But that is itself. We can't get out of that. We are stuck in that. When none of that does anything but make everything worse. Worse. Right? Worse. Where is our jouissance? It's there. It's with us. We see it. We feel it. We feel it. We sense it. It's part of us. Can we break chronological time? Can we find those raptures, chronological time, the suicidal despondency, the fear of the future generations when we know we've already wrecked them completely? Can we rupture it? It is so challenging because we know that our jouissance may only be one poof in the concentration camp, and we will be exterminated without a second thought. Without a second thought. We know how fragile civilization is, hence why it responds with such ferociousness in every which way. It's just a barrage of savage brutality inflicted on anyone who is a threat. And it's inverted, it's externalized, it's internalized, it's every which way but loose. We are left bewildered, not knowing up from down, and that is exactly the point. Can we meditate our bewilderment away? No. I mean, you shouldn't meditate? Absolutely not. You're probably going to have to. You're probably going to have to. You're going to have to meditate. You're going to have to do breath work. You're going to have to do hot, cold showers. You're going to have to do exercise. You're going to have to be all these different things to be well and still not be well, because there's no point to it. You can look pretty and flex your biceps. You can be whatever society says you are, but you're still an empty vessel, and they're being exploited and trying to put a nice happy face on lies. So we're all collaborators. Always. Is there anything we can do about it? Of course not. Some say just be aware. Sure. That's awareness. There's no outcome here. There's no good here. So that's where I hear some people say, and I'll agree, do your own work. Do your own work. Do that work. It isn't that hard, but it is. It is very hard. It's very hard to let go. It's very hard to stay skeptical. It's very hard to see that you're fucked. It's very hard to see the things that you love being devoured, but they're being devoured anyway. Watching our children being murdered, them murdering themselves, because we're doing it to them. It was done to us. And will continue to be so. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. There endeth my bombast.